C on CW contains adult language and discussions. If you're easily offended, do not continue to listen.
I love you.
My name is Oliver Queen.
You died. I went to your funeral.
The city be saving.
What the hell are we going to do with the time shift?
That was Rip. This is John Constantine.
I'm from the future.
Because you can
I'm
inspire
in the future.
Me.
My name is Barry Allen.
Oh, doubtful, mate. You see, I am an accomplished warlock, an expert of the occult, and a master of it.
You people become a team.
Hey, cuz.
It's good to see you.
This looks like a job for the both of us.
Absolutely. Heroes. Legends.
Welcome. You are listening to DC on CW Supergirl Edition on Rain Man Digital. If you're listening from your desktop, you can take us mobile by downloading. Actually, we're not doing the app anymore, are we?
No, we've officially scrapped the app for 2019. So we are moving to more push notifications and pushing everybody towards iTunes and Stitcher. Because the app wasn't cost effective for us.
No, it was not. They weren't doing a good job. Oh, well. So no more app.
Breaking news.
Beep, 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 beep. This just in. Okay, but we are still on iTunes and Stitcher. We're on Spotify now.
We're on you can find us anywhere. You don't need the app.
Hey, guys, just go look for stuff and you can find us. Search DC on CW, search Rayman Digital. You know what to do. Today, we're going to be breaking down and discussing Supergirl Season 4, Episode 6, Call to Action. The Children of Liberty give thanks by attacking marked aliens. And it's so scary.
They're such dicks.
Nicole is back in the studio with myself, Lauren, and Bob.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, welcome back.
Hey.
All back.
Hi.
Hi.
So first things first, let's talk about the news that happened over the past couple weeks. John Cryer was cast as Lex Luthor for Supergirl. On DC's website, like dccomics.com, there's a quote here. "We are enormous fans of John Cryer, and he was instantly our dream actor to play the iconic role of Lex Luthor," said Supergirl executive producers Robert Rovner and Jessica Queller. Why?
Was that in the article?
Why?
I love that.
Now, don't get me wrong. He's like, you know, he's a well-known actor. He's a good actor. He's fine. But why? What about him was like, that's Lex Luthor? You know what I mean? Like,
honestly,
how is that your dream?
I think when I posted it in our chat, people thought I was making it up. And I'm like, no, this is actually from DC's website.
It's so weird.
I don't.
We didn't even know. I didn't recognize him.
I didn't recognize him at all. I was like, I know that name. Why do I know that name? Looked at his face in the picture that they chose, and he literally doesn't even look like the same person. All of his hair has migrated down to the bottom of his face, and he doesn't look like he did on Two and a Half Men. Like, I just didn't recognize him.
Well, I mean, at least it won't take much for him to go bald.
Right, right.
Yeah, because I think that was my first thing. I didn't know the man had given up on his hair as much as this. But again, I'm not one to talk about giving up on hair. but my biggest issue with this is the fact that he is 53 years old in real life. And I always picture Lex like to be like mid-30s, like just a little bit older than Lena. Because how old is Mama Luther now? Like 104?
No, she has to be in her like 60s. Honestly,
I know, but I
yeah.
Mean, you,
so that's
if we're playing real age here. Because didn't we have flashbacks of her like beating him in chess, and they're both like kids?
Yeah, he was definitely a little older than her, though. Kind of significantly older. I'm talking probably like 6 to 8 years,
yeah.
But that's, you know, that's still like, ooh. So I mean, okay, but to be fair, People play different ages all the time. That's not a huge deal. But he is definitely older. I mean, he's 53 years old. Actually, him himself, he could get away with being in his 40s for sure.
I don't know. Ducky playing Lex.
Yeah, I don't know about this. I mean, now that he's getting older, he looks a little less like, oh, hi, how's it going? And like there's a picture of him and I think his wife, and he's, you know, it's a more current picture. He's more bald, has a little bit of that scruff on his face, and he looks a little more, I don't know. Like an adult person that wouldn't just have like a high pitched voice, but I don't know.
I just always pictured Lex as more of a menacing type character, and
with like a big cheesin' smile, and you know what I mean. Like that's, but
again, this guy's known for being Ducky on like the Pretty in Pink and 2 and a Half Men, to where he's kind of been a whiny character in both of them.
Absolutely whiny. And I think even in this show, they kind of questioned whether he was straight or not. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah. And so for that to happen, that's just not the Lex that that's not my Lex. Hashtag.
How is this your immediate dream Lex? How? I mean, I hope that we get blown out of the water with how, like, just opposite side of the spectrum his acting is with this. I hope he shows us the best performance he's ever given.
He's good. I just don't know if he has that menacing personality in him.
I guess we'll find out. I go into it with an open mind with casting, so I'm just gonna.
Yeah, I mean, we'll
wait it out.
I just hope they're not grabbing for a name.
I mean, yeah, I mean, he did the voice for Brainy Smurf in Robot Chicken. Like, that's your Lex. has he ever been in anything serious?
Hot Shots Part 2?
Come on.
Oh.
Apparently he played Lenny Luthor in Superman 4.
Yeah.
Lenny Luthor, yeah. The best
Lex's,
of the Luthers.
Lex's nephew. Yeah. The esteemed Lenny Luthor.
They were going to do a spinoff of Lenny Luthor. I don't know if you knew that. In the 80s.
What?
But no, seriously, has he ever been in anything serious? Or is it all just like sitcoms and comedies?
Looking through his IMDb, I have not seen anything that I would put on the serious side.
It's literally all situation comedies, and that's it, man.
He's got superhero experience. He was a voice in Stanley Stripperella.
Perfect. I mean, he was also. Where is that? He was also Felix Faust in Justice League Action. I don't know. I'm not convinced.
And also, if I was DC, I wouldn't say he was Lenny Luthor in the worst Superman movie ever made.
Right, yeah.
Remember that character from the best movie ever? Here you go.
That's your Lex. I honestly hope that DC is sitting back because they've seen his audition tapes. They've seen what he's brought to the table. They're impressed with it, and they're just twiddling their fingers and sitting back with smirks on their faces going, no one will ever expect this to be good. We can't wait to show them all how wrong they are. I hope that's what's like happening right now.
I hope so too.
Again, I'm going into it with an open mind. No expectations.
I mean, there's literally nothing we can do about it. You know what I mean? Like, so we have to go into this and try and be as open-minded as possible. So I honestly just hope that he gives us a performance that we never would have expected from him. And it was not typecast, you know what I mean? Because this is not the same type of character he's used to playing.
Yeah, because at least like with like Jesse Eisenberg, we saw him in Social Network before. But you know what I mean? Like you could see the maniacal like side of it.
Could we?
No, just stop giving me eyeballs.
Well, anywho, I don't know.
We'll just wait and see.
I hope he brings Charlie Sheen with
him. Oh my God, please.
And a mountain of cocaine. Wait, is he sober now? I don't know.
Who? John Cryer? Charlie Sheen.
Both? I don't know.
Charlie Sheen.
When you got HIV, is it worth being sober?
Probably not unless your treatments are actually working.
Wait, maybe his treatment's cocaine.
I don't think that's how that works.
That's not approved by the FDA. But.
All right. Well, on that note, I guess we're all going to research FDA regulations now and go to a quick break.
HIV.
We'll be right back.
You know, for a place that caters to aliens, they have some pretty good chicken wing.
How do you know that's chicken?
DC on CW.
On Twitter today, Hamill tweeted out, "The to be continued," likely in reference to the still secret subtitles of Star Wars Episode 9, if indeed the third film in the sequel trilogy begins with the word "the," it would mean that all three of the sequels had subtitles where "the" was the first word. It would also be the fifth of 9 episode movies that begin that way. That is fucking reaching for an article.
You just wasted 5 minutes of my day.
I literally took a gun, put it in my mouth, and I almost pulled the trigger after reading this article. Oh, and now Our listeners are going to do the exact same thing, Dave, because I put them through the same horse shit that I had to go through. Please quit writing articles like this.
Yes, I have to agree. Journalistic integrity, whatever happened to journalistic integrity?
This is also going to be the ninth movie where somebody wore robes and had shoes on. Go fuck yourself! Is comicbook.com really that desperate for clicks?
It's getting that bad now.
Who wrote this article? Russ Burlingame.
You're fired.
Go die.
Go die. But seriously,
are we the only people that get this angry over things, Dave? Like, I feel sometimes when I listen to the show back on the replays, I'm like, man, I get really aggressive. But are other people get annoyed by stupid shit? Like what Russ Burlingame made us go through?
You are not a journalist. Yeah. You are not a journalist.
They should be Boba Fett, right? Boba Fetted right into the Sarlacc pit.
Yeah. I'm like, going,
they should die early. David,
no research.
They should die early. They should die early, like Val. All right. I don't wish death on anybody, but probably, but possibly Russ Burlingame. Yes, for sure.
Possibly.
Also, if you've missed our last show, you can also find us on your Stitcher app. Search Back to Tank. Add us to your favorites. Thank you, and we will see you very soon.
The Rain Man Show.
The Rain Man Show.
Adam Tingle saw the woman walking her dog Monday afternoon and yelled at her, thinking she was a killer clown. When the woman didn't stop walking, Tingle fired a shot from his rifle, which missed, thankfully.
He had time and a location to grab his rifle.
He's in Kentucky. He's probably hanging in the back of his truck. Yeah, right, Gia.
You know, I apologize for killing this woman. But you
kill her.
I killed her. I killed her.
Yeah.
But you know,
you killed her?
Nowadays, it's so confusing. All these bitches just wear too much makeup.
Yes, they do.
I was telling Jethro the other day, I'm like, remember when bitches didn't wear makeup? You could wake up the next morning from a club night and say, hey, Bertha looks the same as she did last night. It's insane. It's insane. Now, when I wake up from a club night, their faces are on the pillow next to me.
I complimented my mama with her lipstick. You know?
I mean, back when I used to have sex with my mother, I mean, she wore the right amount, the right ratio of makeup.
I told my mama it definitely brings out your dick sucking lips.
For more Rain Man, visit RainManShow.com.
You're listening to Rain Man Digital's DC on CW.
All right, we are back. Let's talk Supergirl Season 4, Episode 6, Call to Action. Directed by Antonio Negrete and written by Gabriel Yanas and Daniel Beatty. So this was a terrifying episode for me because it seemed too close to something that could reasonably happen if enough hate speech fueled people.
Yeah, I got real, real.
Yeah.
It was really real. I actually appreciated this episode more because I think it was more of the action-oriented type things going on than we've seen before with them.
They were getting their point across and showing the dangers of it without just talking about it. And so then it didn't feel preachy, right?
Yeah, it wasn't just, monologues.
Because it was showing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It wasn't a bunch of people at the school, and Agent Liberty taking stage, trying to get them all, rallied around them.
Yeah. We're finally moving past that and now seeing, the effects of his speeches.
Things that we could believe happen.
Yeah. And it's honestly it's so relatable to where things are at because there's plenty of people who have really good intentions and they're like, listen, I want to protect my livelihood. I want to protect my home, my town, my city, my country, the residents of this country. I want to protect all of that. And this guy says that the stuff that's endangering that is bad and it's these things. So those things are, you know what I mean? It starts from good intentions and becomes misguided.
Yeah. I mean, being in Arizona, we've seen that plenty with just the posses on the border and,
We're
things
so
like
used
that.
To it.
It's stuff that's been around for us at least, 10, 15 years.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The people with the best intentions trying to either help or, capture people. And it just kind of always goes to that radical side.
Mm-hmm. Especially when there's someone who's manipulative and loud. Saying, I don't know, all sorts of hateful things. Things that imply violence or elitism or anything like that. And then people slowly but surely just start getting more and more aggravated and more violent until it gets just so much worse. I mean, we saw this evolve from Ben Lockwood just handing out pamphlets, just one irate dude, come on, please, listen, our country's in danger, our world's in danger, to now he's got pamphlets everywhere filled with this rhetoric that's just the things that they mentioned that are talked about in it are ridiculous. And then the Children of Liberty are patrolling the whole city. They're marking the homes of aliens. It's ridiculous. And the DEO doesn't want to step in. Agent Bitch doesn't want to step in. because the Children of Liberty are human and it's a human problem and not what the DEO does. And also probably because the president is no, these guys are fine. Ugh.
It's not a good situation at all.
So let's talk about Agent Bitch real quick.
Uh-huh.
This is becoming the most confusing character for me because at some points I feel like she was ordered there by the president. And other times I feel like this is just a stickler for the rules. Am I the only one that's kind of
She was ordered there by the president.
But you know what I mean? Under more kind of evil pretense.
Mm-hmm.
And now I just feel like she's just more of a stickler for the rules. When before I just thought maybe she was part of the Children of Liberty.
Yeah, I've always had the vibe that she has some plan of her own, though. My vibe was she was part of Children of Liberty. But I don't know. I'm kind of on the same page as you. What is this woman's motive?
Because she gives and takes and... Yeah. Throughout, and it's not so black and white like I originally thought it was going to be.
See, I never thought she was involved with the Children of Liberty, but we know she's in the president's back pocket or vice versa.
Yeah. Because I had the whole theory that it went all the way to the top.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't think it's there yet because Ben Lockwood is still the top of the Children of Liberty. So we shall see, but I don't really know. I think they're going to run into so many more problems, though, with her just being there. You know, I think it's borderline, like, Alex is going to lose her job at some point, I think. Like, it's ridiculous how bad this is getting for them and how much they're being, they're being impeded by her presence at every turn.
Yeah, she's definitely getting in the way, and I have that same fear about Alex, that she's totally going to get demoted at the very least. And that girl with Agent Bitch would take over.
Yeah, I don't know what the hell's going to happen, but I mean, she's ordering them to not do anything about stuff that they see that they can prevent. She's trying to get Supergirl to not even partake in normal superhero stuff. Okay. Like,
yeah,
that was
I remember that. Yeah,
I was like, okay.
Yeah, at what point were you all like sitting there gonna be like, Supergirl, turn the middle finger to be like, fuck you, I don't really work for you.
Yeah,
I'm helping you.
I thought that's why I thought it was so weird that she was like, oh, why'd you go do that? You shouldn't be doing normal superhero things that all superheroes patrolling? Do.
Friendly neighborhood Supergirl no more.
Yeah.
Apparently.
Yeah. At that point, I'd be like, you know what? I don't really need the help. All right, I don't need you guys. Alex, if you need me, call me.
Peace. I'm getting the fuck out.
Yeah. A lot less stressful if I don't got to worry about you.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm
the whole CEO thing's kind of, it's getting a little.
That storyline's really weird.
A little stressful. Things are getting pulled a little tight over there. Brainy's doing a little better. He's doing a little better at, like, thinking on the fly to come up with excuses and stuff like that. I'm appreciating that. He didn't understand context, but then immediately was like, oh, I see. Okay, I got it. On it. So he's more improvement with him. Let's talk about Manchester Black, though, as it pertains to the Children of Liberty. Kind of stay on that. Manchester Black, we knew he was going to fully dive into like violence again, and he was only ever nonviolent because of Fiona. And here we are. Now he's killing all the Children of Liberty. I personally don't see a problem with this.
I'm like, all right, Punisher over here.
Especially, it was so badass when he opens the door and he just has the mask on.
Yeah.
I was cheering for it, but I'm a vigilante fan, so.
Yeah, I'm okay with it, although I feel like Supergirl would not be okay with it.
Well, yeah.
I could you blame him at all?
No.
No, not at all.
Especially like if you're out patrolling the streets with baseball bats, hunting down aliens, marking their houses, preparing for an attack. No, I don't feel bad that you got your faces bashed in with brass knuckles and that you got killed.
Yeah, I mean, kind of brought it on yourself with that one.
Don't run around looking for a fight if you can't fight.
Yeah. It's essentially what Manchester was doing.
Yeah.
Like, oh, okay, you want to fight? I'll bring you a fight.
Not my fault you got your ass kicked.
Yeah, I honestly do not feel bad about it. And I'm kind of like, Supergirl, just let it go. Just let it go, man. Let it be. There's less racists in the world. It's okay. It's fine.
Can't save everybody.
Manchester Black is a total badass, though. I love his little, like, tap on his chest to activate his little, like, thing that we've seen now, too. Like, his little, like, armor thing.
Oh, yeah. That armor's badass.
And I don't know. He's just super cool and intimidating and definitely, like, Manchester Black. And definitely, like, you know, British Punisher, kind of. Brainy, however, also had a great fight scene, though.
I enjoyed the hell out of that.
I was like, Brainy, like, I know you're smart, but calm down. Like, think about this for a second. They're like, they're probably stronger than you. And this moment, this fight scene right there reminded me of why he's a part of the Legion and that he was a part of the Legion and like an actual superhero in his own right and not just like the smart dude at the computer.
What'd he say? I'm going to beat you up with physics.
Yeah. With physics. It was cool. It was good.
And you know what?
So brainy.
It reminded me of the Sherlock Holmes movies with Robert Downey Jr. when he's like picturing, you know, and you see him like calculating the things in his head in the slow motion fights.
Oh, yeah. All within like a split second.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And just being able to calculate and know something was getting thrown at him and move out of the way. It was probably the best shot scene I think I've seen all year out of Supergirl.
Yeah.
Like everything was timed right. The, you know, the pacing, the movement, all that crap. It all went together real seamlessly when it could have just been like real herky jerky.
But yeah,
it definitely made you, it makes you look at Brainy a lot differently than, say, the beginning of the season, based on just the character development they've done with him overall. And now the fact that, you know, he was just so confident in the fighting thing. You just like, you didn't see it that way before. At least I didn't.
Yeah, I feel like I'm really beginning to like Brainy more and more each week because of the character development they're giving him.
They did it.
They
guys,
did it.
They did it.
They turned them.
I got to say, too.
They got rid of the dolphin skin.
Thank God.
Hooray. They turned it around. I have to say, too, that I really liked the choreography for the fight scene. Like, beyond the obvious, it just, I want to point out that it was some of the more fun choreography that we've seen on Supergirl in a while.
Yeah, I agree.
Supergirl gets, like, fine choreography, but, like, usually Arrow's, like, the flashy one, you know?
Yeah.
But this was fun choreography. It was appealing. It was well choreographed. It was well executed. It was good to look at. It was a great scene. So where are you guys at with the overall Liberty storyline now here?
I think it's picking up. Like it's getting somewhere. It's finally moving. That's how I felt after like these last 2 weeks.
I agree with you. Like we got the motivation now, and now we're seeing the action of it.
Yeah.
And then obviously the reaction from our heroes.
Yeah.
And so it's a lot more. It's better for me just because it's less preachy.
Yeah,
I have to agree that it was a slow build up. For a minute there were a couple episodes where I found myself tuning out a little. There were some great episodes too, like Ben Lockwood's episode and stuff like that. Like amazing, but there were a couple where I was like, all right, I could take a nap in the middle of this one and then come back, and then some cool stuff happens, and then but I feel like this week I was actually trying to multitask, and I found myself not doing that because I couldn't look away from what was happening on screen. So we're back there. Thank you, guys. Good job. We did it. I like to feel that way about this show. Like I can't like look away. I can't stop watching. So I don't know. Let's talk about one last thing before we go into a little break here. Nia. Nia's back in this episode with a little bit larger of a presence, and she's got this bout of narcolepsy that she's dealing with. And at first, I kind of thought that it was an excuse, and I was like, Nia, why would you lie about having an illness? Because she just seemed like exasperated by it. But then she's legitimately like falling asleep, and there's some weird stuff that is going on with this, and it seems real sketchy. Do you think that she already knows that there's something weird up with her illness, or is she just weirded out because this new stuff is happening to her? Did she already have any powers or any weird stuff happening before this, and is it just like coming back? Like, we don't know anything.
For me, it's like I feel like I'm looking too deep into it because we already know that she's going to end up being Dreamer.
Right.
And of course, narcolepsy just seemed to be like a, I was like, I rolled my eyes a little bit. I'm like, of course the dreamer has narcolepsy. I'm like, but
I didn't even think about that.
I didn't either.
And then I was weirded out when they, you know, the Danvers mom approaches her and like, oh, I have doctors. And she seems so hesitant. It's like she knows something's up and they don't want her to like poke and prod around her.
She seemed like she knew the doctor that Eliza brought up, too. She was just like, I'm good friends with this person. They're the best like sleep doctor in the city. And she was like, oh, what a coincidence. Oh, no, I already have one. Like, she seemed almost like she knew that specific doctor, too, because they brought her up by name, like, blah, blah, blah. Like, they could have just said, you know, I have this friend. She's the best sleep doctor in the city. Like, I'll set you up with her.
I have a doctor. Who? George Glass.
God. I don't know. I feel like we're gonna see this quickly turn into an active storyline. I don't know. Yeah. I
think so. Yeah. Although I'm gonna be honest, because of how many storylines we have going on, I totally forgot that she was a superhero.
Oh my God.
So I didn't even think about it.
I honestly could care less about the storyline in general. Like,
I just felt like she was hiding something in general about it. So
we have so much going on right now.
Yeah.
The dreamer storyline is
it's on the back burner
it's
in
like
my mind.
F on the storylines.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I want to see A through E get done before I give a shit about F.
We'll get there.
Yeah.
Let's wrap this other stuff up first.
Yeah, just take one or two of the other ones away before we keep going.
Yeah.
Because there's so much going on. And
there is, yeah.
I mean, we're only halfway through this episode and we still haven't talked about some of the bigger things that happen here.
Right.
And it's just like we forget that little 2-minute thing did happen.
Mm-hmm. Maybe let's talk about James.
You for sure this time?
No.
I guess.
So, James is really pissing me off. James is really
pissing me off. Isn't he too stubborn for his own good?
Yeah. He is a jackass. I'm so mad at him right now. So he gets ordered to appear on the talk show. Wait, no. He gets suggested that he should go on the talk show. And then, maybe I don't want to. I'm going to go meet the fucking terrorists.
I got to go play with my friends. I got stuff going on.
And so, like, on the one hand, I totally get it. I wouldn't want a show appearance or whatever to be sprung on me either. I'd be pissed. I'd be like, are you kidding me? Like
that's right now?
Today? No. You got to give me more warning than that, more notice. But
I need at least 72 business hours.
Yeah. But also, I think Lena didn't want to give him any sort of time to mull it over. I think she was just like, you're going to go do this now because you haven't. You've been sitting there and you have not denounced them yet. And you need to because they are terrorists.
She's almost like more of like a PR lady.
Yeah, right?
She really is, yeah.
But also at the same time, like, this is her company. And this man is the CEO of her company. And this man is the face of her company. So if he doesn't denounce that stuff and people start inferring that he is associated with them or believes in them and just hasn't, you know, said it yet, that represents her company.
Isn't that amazing in this day and age? If you don't say anything, you're automatically on that side.
It's obnoxious. Yes. Yeah. More obnoxious than amazing.
Like, I don't have to denounce this. I really don't believe in it. But okay.
Yeah, like, you should be able to be like, I honestly don't even think it's worth addressing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's all right. So Kara goes instead. And then there's all of this like tension between James and Lena where he's just like, this is work. I'm going to go talk to my friends, the Agent Liberty people, because they said that they were cool and that I could come into their clubhouse and they promised they won't hurt me. Yeah.
If I talk to them, they don't understand why and it all makes sense.
I'm just going to outright say that Lena was correct and Lena was right about all of this stuff. She is like, I firmly agree with her opinion and her position on everything that's been going on with James and like all of this.
Yeah, I'm definitely team Lena.
Yeah,
that was.
And for him, Ooh, I was so mad. For him to react the way he did when she came clean about the DA deal thing, like, you should be appreciative. I know you didn't want her doing that, and I get that you're, like, a little upset about it, but, like, she just told you that she put herself on the line to make sure you didn't go to prison because you didn't deserve to be there. And you would have ended up there had she not stepped in. Your laissez-faire attitude and like, they're not going to do anything to me. It's going to be fine. Oh, no, they were. She saved your ass and then told you that she did it because she loves you. And she would not hesitate to cross the line to save you again and to pull you out of harm's way. And your response is to say, I don't think I want any part of that. My guy, you are an asshole. Like, that's...
I'd lay her down right there and have sexual relations with her. She'd be like, thank you very much, lady.
You saved me from prison.
I worship you.
I worship you. I'm going to lay you down. What do you want me to do?
Let me kiss your feet. Let me wash them.
I would, if I...
We having sex.
We having sex. If I found out that someone that I cared about did that for me, I would feel guilty and a little sad. Because, you know, because of me, they had to put themselves on the line. And so I'd be like, you didn't have to do that. Like, why? I'd be a little frustrated at first, simply out of concern for them. And like, please don't put yourself on the line like that. But then I would be so grateful. And I would appreciate how much they care about me.
Yeah.
How could you ever be like, if that's your idea of love, risking things for the other person, well, that doesn't sound like something I want.
Isn't that what love is?
Pretty sure. Pretty sure. Willing to put yourself on the line for another person.
Sir. He's still, yeah.
Peace out. I'm out. This shit got hard.
What the fuck?
That's the way he
Too real.
Nah, this was cool when we just eating and shit. And now we got like bills and stuff. Nah, I'm out. This is too hard.
Yeah. Oh, joint checking account. Sign me. No, never mind. Let me out of here.
I just need both your names on this lease. Oh, no, fuck this. No.
Yikes.
Like, how long is that? That's commitment. No, I'm out.
So,
I'm glad we're all.
A family
fucking...
family data plan? Oh, no.
Yeah. Right?
No, we want
shared Spotify? No.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I ain't giving you my password.
Yeah, I'm so on Lena's side with this. I'm on
Lena.
Lena,
you
team
can
here.
Do better.
Definitely, he is making some mistakes here. He like just this whole thing is one long James mistake. So Kara took his place though on that TV show, and surprise, surprise, Ben Lockwood is the one there, and he was just they've been toying with James and pulling him away from, that's like the first bit of it that we see. Them baiting him into being away from that so that he didn't have to be on TV debating against Ben Lockwood. That was Ben's first like, ooh, check one for me. No point. I was so worried that Kara was going to just melt down and just not be good because she was nervous, because sometimes when she's Kara and not Supergirl, she still gets like nervous and stumbly with her words and actions. And I thought she did a little better than I was anticipating. I don't know how you guys felt about how she did though.
I expected her to stand up for herself a little bit more. Like I thought he got the best of her, and I didn't expect it.
I expected it.
I at least thought she would be like, she would last longer than that, than she did before she got tripped up, because this is a very passionate topic from like for her as well, and very personal. So I thought she would have at least had at least one more good comeback on that.
I think it's hard to do when you're trying to hide your own personal,
not use your laser eyes on them.
Yeah. when you're trying to hide your personal attachment to the situation. How can you get so heated and speak from personal experience when you're trying to hide the fact that your personal experience is that you're an alien?
Yeah, true.
So that's got to be off-putting. That's got to be like, oh, if I let my emotions get the better of me and I start like speaking emotionally, like talking passionately, I might accidentally fall into a trap and he may expose me or on accident or something like that, you know?
True, because I mean, she doesn't even have to be Supergirl. The second that he finds out she's an alien of any kind, she would have had a target. So,
exactly.
Good point. Maybe that's why she like just stopped so fast, because she was like, oh, listen, we're going to dangerous territory.
She's good at inspiring people and saying kind, hopeful things and encouraging people, but she isn't a wordsmith. She's not a public speaker. She's not a, I don't know. She's just not silver tongued the way that Ben Lockwood is. Ben Lockwood is a speech giver. You know what I mean? Like he lectured for a living. He's used to speaking in front of people and using the proper terms and rhetoric and tone. And I mean, we see him in his dressing room changing the word adversary to threat because it inspired the right emotion from the audience, like later on. So it's just like that, you know, that's way later. But still, like that's something that we've seen from him. This is a guy who knows what he's doing. He knows what words to say. He knows what words will have the right effect on people. And while Supergirl is a writer, she tries to write the facts and be truthful.
Yeah.
She doesn't, she's not a spinster in that sense, you know, like she's not trying to manipulate people with her writing. Ben Lockwood is. So I think she backed down at a good point because she could have easily made things worse, or he could have come at her worse. But doesn't matter because James is with the Children of Liberty.
Jesus.
Whatever. I hate it. I'm so mad at him. I want to punch that man in the face.
There's just no way this is good at all.
No, like, how did you think that that was a good idea?
Yeah, and how did you not think that it was a trap in the first place?
Mm-hmm.
There's a reason why they're willing to meet with you, you dumbass.
What did Lena say? This is how journalists get killed? And now they don't want to kill him. But that doesn't mean they won't use him.
Yeah.
Or hurt someone that he cares about. Or hurt him to use him. You know what I mean? Like, that's... You're being an idiot.
Seriously.
But on the topic of Lena, she has been doing all these experiments with Eve and stuff like that down in her lab. She's trying to cure basically everything. She's trying to cure cancer. She's trying to cure ailments of any type. And finally, there's a breakthrough, and the heart in the little like test tube thing that she's using doesn't burn. It's literally on fire and it's not taking any damage. So she's been using the Harunel on her experiments and stuff. And initially this came to be because she was hoping to cure cancer. And now she's just trying to like super strong all the human race. If we even the playing field, I mean, it's not a bad idea when things are already radical. Not terrible.
It just, I always question always the whole living forever and the overpopulation of the world as it is. Like, do you really need to cure everything?
Yeah.
We already live long enough.
We already live so much longer than humans ever have.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I feel like new diseases would
grow.
Yeah, like more diseases would spring up, more like viruses, more things that would kill us. I don't know.
And it'd be probably even worse if they had this in their system.
And it's always like, one of those things. Just because you can, do you?
Yeah. I felt a little weird about the project. I was like, you really want to do this? I don't think you should.
Yeah, I mean, it's I understand her. I understand her motivation, and while idealistically it's not a bad idea, it is still very radical. Extremely radical. But I don't know. But it definitely, like, it definitely sounds like the Everyman Project, which happened in the comic. The comics. That was something that Lex Luthor did, and it was literally the same sort of thing, like granting superpowers to ordinary humans. And the first ones ended up becoming a part of his superhero team, the second version of Infinity Inc. And I don't know, that didn't go so well because, you know, Lex. So there's always, like, I don't know, there's always something hidden there with Lex, and there's always some sort of, like, catch. He also had the ability to strip the powers away to test and retest the powers repeatedly. And he was just trying to make sure that he could go through the process safely himself with no
Let's put
risks.
Everybody else through it first.
Yeah. So he ended up killing a bunch of them by deactivating their powers mid-air. It's just so fucked.
I don't know why I laughed. I just pictured that. Just like, yay! Oh, fuck. Look at him go.
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, shit.
So we'll see what happens here and see if it goes the way she wants it to, which, like, realistically, no, it won't. But,
but it's like,
we shall see.
You know, she wants to save all these people. But again, it's always that question of,
does she really?
And then there's the other question. Who is going to be the most pissed off when they find out Lena's doing this and doing human trials? Now, granted.
Supergirl.
Duh.
Yeah.
Granted,
shit you're not supposed to have.
Yeah. Granted, she is doing the human trials the proper way. She's going through all of the, like, legal and responsible, I don't know, like,
you're signing a contract. You are aware that you might die.
Here are all of the risks. If you don't feel comfortable, just be done with it, whatever. Like, I don't know. Well, let's talk final thoughts now. Nicole, let's go with you because you've been out of here for like a week or right. two or whatever.
However many. I don't know. What year is it? Anyway, this episode, it's definitely turning everything around for me. I really enjoyed this one a lot more than I have in previous episodes. Overall, like, there's not much for me to say other than it's pretty good. It's interesting.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. Those are my thoughts. It was good.
This episode was definitely a step in the right direction for the rest of the season. We have had good episodes. We have had good stories and things, but this is kind of like a convergence of a bunch of storylines coming together. It's the James and Guardian thing and the Agents of Liberty thing and the Supergirl thing and Manchester Black and Lena and all of this all kind of like just merging into one big storyline. And there was more action. There was more like real movement forward. And it was a way better episode. I'm looking forward to the rest of the season moving forward from this point because I'm like, all right, we're here. We're in it now. We're going. We're getting there.
Yeah. For me, what I definitely liked was when they made the comparison to Thanksgiving and how the natives invited, you know, and we look at it as like a feast and then maybe later on, you know, what?
Yeah, it's just. I'm cringing at it.
Yeah, I mean, because it's a tough thing to actually hear. Because we always, it's always the joke. It's like the winners always write history.
Yeah,
and they kind of address that in a way of maybe on this day we find out the aliens take over, or this is when this happens, and we look back at it as we invited them to a feast and they took over.
Yeah, I totally forgot that they can. Yeah, they basically compared that. And yeah, that's Damn.
That's American history slapping you in the face.
I know it is.
You know, and I always like when they take it. It's a not controversial stand, but it isn't always the it wasn't an easy thing probably to put out there. So the writing wise, I appreciated that kind of comparison there, because they're doing a good job of explaining why the Children of Liberty are so scared of the aliens. Mm-hmm. And using it in the context of settlers and Native Americans on Thanksgiving, I just saw the comparison there as like a very good ploy.
Yeah, I'm really liking the writing. And like you said, like this was a really good episode. And I'm like looking forward to the next one, honestly.
Yeah, me too.
Alrighty, with that, let's get out of here for this episode. And just, you know, repent mentally, I guess, for the sins of the founders of America. I guess that's gonna do it for today's DC on CW Supergirl edition. You can always catch any past and future DC on CW episodes through the Rain Man digital app. You can follow us. Oh God, we don't even have that anymore. Here we are. But you can actually follow us on social media. Our Twitter's at DC on CW, Facebook.com/DC on CW, and our Instagram is at DC_on_CW.
People want cuddles.